Hour number three of the Lake Show. Dave Schwartz in for Henry Lake this evening. Great to be with you. Jonathan Lowe in the producer's chair as well. We'll get a March Madness update here around 8:30 if your brackets are anything like mine. Does it really matter at the beginning of the NCAA tournament? I mean, don't be that person. Don't be that man or woman who runs around your office saying, my bracket's still perfect. It's great. Look at me. I did it. You're 2 days in, barely. And you're listening to this saying, that's not me. It could be you. And you are out there. And I promise you, by the end of it, your bracket will be busted just like everyone else's. The only thing that I will pat myself on the back on, Jonathan, is that I did predict correctly that Arkansas would beat Kansas. But I'm not bragging about it. The only reason I picked Arkansas is where my wife is from. And if I didn't pick them and they won, I would be sleeping on the couch. So that was not predicting with my head. It was predicting with my heart. So I want to make sure that I got that out there.
It's very important. Very important. Familial ties. Very important.
Yeah. How is your bracket looking right now? Did you do a bracket?
So normally
did
I do.
Do more than one?
Normally I do a bracket, but I hemmed and hawed a little too much. Had a couple of matchups where I thought, man, I do this every year. You go with heart over head for some of these matchups.
Sure.
But there were some that were so much heart over head that I'm like, you know what? By Wednesday night, I said, I'm not going to do one. So I did not do a bracket this year. And I'm just following. Now, I will say this. If I had done a bracket, it would have been all kind of busted up by now, more than likely.
Yeah, of course. That's interesting because I do think that there are a lot of people that do go the opposite way. They're like, there's 64 teams. There's so many things you can't predict. And there's no possible way, unless you are a journalist or an analyst for a living or a professional gambler, can you possibly know everything there is to know about all the teams in the NCAA tournament?
No.
So I'll
just say this flat out. No.
Yeah.
Because even if you know the Big Ten, let's say you know the Big Ten and the Summit League, which has the Dakota schools. Maybe you know about the Horizon League, which has some of the smaller Wisconsin schools in D1. You're not going to know about the Sun Belt. You're not going to know about the Western Athletic Conference
this year.
The Mountain West. You're not going to know about all that stuff.
Nope. And that turns people off. I think that's because especially if now I do one with some friends at work that there's no money involved, and so I'm like, okay, that's fine. But if you had to ask me right now and say, okay, because I did. I had someone say to me, do you want to be in a league with us? It's $20 to get in. And I'm like, yeah, 20 bucks. I'm like, I don't know enough about it, about all the teams in the field. Because, yes, I know the Big Ten. Yes, I probably know a little more about the SEC just because of our familial ties. But ultimately, it's very much of a crapshoot.
Now, I will say this.
You are the biggest fan.
I would like to think I try to know about some of this stuff.
Sure.
I this is one of the places I dive into as a quote unquote sports dork. But even so, and I watched quite a bit of the championship weekend last Saturday with all these small schools. I watched some of these championship games from these smaller leagues, and you get a glimpse of that team on that night, but that's not a glimpse of that team when you're looking out from the beginning of the year, from not just the beginning of the season, but like January 1, when conference play really kicks in. You're not really seeing that team from that time forward, so it just takes so much time to dig into that.
Or you can do what I do, and you just find an expert and go, okay. And then I have one rule with every bracket I've ever done. If it's a 10-7 matchup, I always pick the 10. And honestly, that's gotten me really far. I hate to say it like that, but it's gotten me really far. Do you fill out brackets? Do you have a system for filling out brackets? 651-461-9226. Bonus points if you have or had in the past a ridiculous way of filling out your bracket, and it paid off for you because you're out there. You're saying, yeah, I just picked on my favorite colors and I won my bracket. I won my bracket pool. Or what's the other one I love? Which mascot could beat the other one? You know, which if there was a fight between a Razorback, which is a hog, a pig, or a Jayhawk, which is a bird, I would imagine. Clearly, you're going to go with. I guess you would go with the pig.
Yes, the mascot is a bird for Kansas.
I would probably take the wild hog in that matchup as opposed to a bird.
See, okay,
that's not the way to do it.
So I'll just say it this way.
Yeah.
Because Kansas is in my neck of the woods. That's where I'm from.
Okay.
So Kansas Jayhawk, going back to, you know, the Civil War, and that's what they would call, I think, the Freedom Fighting Force against the slave state in Missouri. They'd call them, they were known as the Jayhawkers. And so their mascot is a bird. Iowa State, which is my alma mater, their mascot is also a bird. But the name of the team is the Cyclones.
It's the Cyclones. That's odd.
So if you have a Cyclone, let's just take that Arkansas example. If you have a Cyclone, you would take the Cyclone against a pig. But
versus
the actual
anything, you'd take the Cyclone.
But the mascot is actually a bird. So would you take the bird as a Cyclone over the pig as a pig?
Nothing can beat a Cyclone. What's going to beat a Cyclone?
The only other thing I can think of is the University of Miami, which is the Hurricanes.
The Hurricanes. That's great.
That's great. The weather geek in me coming out, folks.
I love that. I love it. An interesting article I read this week, and it prompted a conversation with some friends of mine that gambling, and I will preface this by saying that I dabble in sports gambling, but I'm not all in on it. I play some fantasy football, season-long fantasy football, and there were times, not as much anymore, but I would do FanDuel and do those, you know, the daily fantasies. I like those. Someone brought up a point to me this week that I thought that at first I kind of sloughed it off, but the more I thought about it, the more I thought maybe he's got something here. That gambling in sports, as much as we enjoy it, and in sports, that, you know, there's a benefit in terms of the money that's brought in from it. But it's doing some serious damage to fandom of schools and professional teams, because and there's younger kids my son age and younger, and very much even myself at times too, that you're not necessarily a fan of a team anymore. You're a fan of that player because that player is on your fantasy team, or you're a fan of that team because they will win you that bracket pool or go on. And after that happens year after year, you don't really dial into one team. So if you're a Vikings fan, you haven't been through the Brett Favre interception to Tracy Porter. You haven't been through the Gary Anderson wide field goal. You haven't been through all that other those emotional ties that just, well, they probably give you some serious reasons to go to therapy, but they also galvanize your love for your team. Like, I'm going to stick with this until the end. But if there is a downside to sports gambling, there's many downsides to it. But there is an aspect of it, and I kind of agree with this, and I'd be curious to know what our listeners think. 651-461-9226 is our WCCO Talk and Text line. But is sports gambling damaging our sports fandom as kids grow up in a generation where maybe some of them don't just love, they don't just tie into their team and love their team. They love the team or the player that's going to get them their win in fantasy football. Am I crazy with this, Jonathan?
Not necessarily. No, I there are people that I know that we've been in fantasy football together, or they've done brackets like we're talking about right now at one point in time, and then they just said, you know what, I don't get the same enjoyment out of doing that and rooting against players on a team I root for, or rooting against players that might have gone to my school or something about that. I don't get a joy out of that. And so I'm just going to stop doing it and just watch the game as it's intended to be watched.
And part of it's one of the other things, like the NFL rules the calendar, right? And a lot of that is because of fantasy football. I mean, let's be honest. If the NFL didn't have fantasy football, it would be a very different landscape. The NFL rules everything. But there's a reason why you would sit down at your couch on a Sunday afternoon and watch Jacksonville, Atlanta, even though, well, maybe here we just want to see Kirk, people want to see Kirk Cousins do bad things, but he might not even play much next year. But ultimately, in the NFL, you'd sit down and watch that game because maybe you got a player in it. Maybe you got two players in it. You know, we've all been there Monday night watching the football game, hoping that the kicker hits a 50-yard field goal just to put you over the top. But in other sports, we don't necessarily have that. And probably because gambling, I think, is a much larger portion of football because fantasy football was kind of the first big fantasy sport.
Well, I would disagree to that point now just because the other leagues have gotten so in bed with the FanDuels, the DraftKings, all of the prize picks, all of these different ones. Yeah. I would say that the profile of that has been raised. Football may still be at the top, but I think the other sports have caught up in a pretty big way.
Would you sit down and watch a random, let's just say, Texas Rangers playing the Seattle, let's say the Mariners. I don't know, I think that works. But would you sit down and watch that if you had no gambling interest in that game?
I might. Again, that's the sports dork in me.
Okay.
And I do not at this time, not saying it may not happen in the future, but at this time, the only sports things I would say that I would be betting on would be a fantasy football, an NCAA tournament bracket, and then a regular season NFL pick'em league. Mm-hmm. That's usually what I would go to with the extent of my sports gambling at this point. All the other, the daily stuff and the over-unders and the money lines and all of that, I have not gotten into to this point.
Well, all that's being said, I'll play fantasy football next year, and I'm certainly doing a bracket challenge. So I guess the ultimate moral of the story is it depends on the fan that you are and kind of what's available, which is always the NFL is always available. They have done that right. They are available everywhere and anywhere you want to see them, more than any other league, I think, at this point. Which is that's why they're king. And why we'll jump back into the NFL coming up next. I want to talk a little bit about the Vikings' strategy here and not, at this point, backing up J.J. McCarthy. Why I think this is the best possible move they could have made coming up next. You're listening to The Lake Show. We're all the way into NFL free agency now, and a lot of people are talking about what the Vikings are going to do. They have one quarterback of any legitimate nature on their roster, J.J. McCarthy. Sam Darnold is gone, as is Daniel Jones. He is gone. Kyle Brandt had some pretty interesting take, I thought, this week on the NFL Good Morning Football show. Let's play that, and I want to chat about it after this.
I'm really impressed with how the Vikings are handling this. They're not just saying that we're behind J.J. They are screaming it. Understand what the Vikings have done here. First, they say no to Sam Darnold. That is a guy who won 14 games, who lit it up, who is really well-liked in the locker room. I'm sure you could attest to this, Cam. They said, no, we're going to move on. Then they said no to Aaron Rodgers, if we're supposed to believe these stories, which I do. Nobody says no to Rodgers in football. The Packers didn't say no to him for years. The Jets didn't say no to him. Netflix doesn't say no to him. They said no to Aaron Rodgers. They don't care. They're saying, we're behind J.J. no matter what. You've never started a game, we're behind you. You're badly injured, we're behind you. You're standing around on the sideline looking underweight with your long hair, we're behind you. It's really, really impressive. I will say it's a little dangerous. It's just a little bit dangerous because history says this is going to be rough. I don't care how he looks on the sideline. There have been 11 quarterbacks since the merger, 11, who started zero games as a rookie and then started week one of their second year. And it's guys we love, like Drew Brees and Carson Palmer. It's guys that didn't work out, like Jake Locker or J.P. Lossman. Of those 11, 10 did not make the playoffs that season. Mm-hmm. 10. 10 out of 11 did not make the playoffs. The only buddy who did was actually on the same team, and it was Dante Culpepper. History does not say it's going to come right out and he's going to shoot out the gates. But I don't really care at this point. I love the messaging by Minnesota. I love Kevin O'Connell saying clearly, this is my guy. And if I won 14 games with a guy who was a backup the year before in San Francisco and Sam Darnold, I can do it with our guy. They're not just saying it. They're screaming it. It's pretty cool.
It's a gamble. But it's a gamble that had to be done, and I'm glad that, you know, outwardly, nationally, that there is some support of this. Again, I could care, and I'll be honest with you, I could care less if Daniel Jones was going to stay or not. We got him for a bargain. I have very little faith in Daniel Jones, and I have even less faith with him going to the Colts. Listen, I may be wrong, and we may sit here a year from now, and I'll eat my hat, and that's fine. But Daniel Jones' only chance of rehabilitating his career and becoming anything good was with Kevin O'Connell. Look what he did for Sam Darnold. Look what he did for Josh Dobbs in over four games. Okay? But I'm fine with – I love this strategy. It's year two. You have to go at this point. You have to see what J.J. McCarthy has. And I know it's – oh, it's only year two. We have to. You do. Because you spent a very high pick on him. You've got to see what you have. But also, there's really no reason. And I was firm on this from day one that I didn't think that they should franchise Sam Darnold. They wouldn't be able to trade him. And I thought it was too much money when they have too many positions of need in the offseason. There are free agents out there that would make very good backup and or fill-ins. And I'm not talking about Aaron Rodgers, so we're going to skip him on the list. How about Russell Wilson? If he'll come in here at the right salary, he's 36 years old. He's probably got a little bit left. Not a lot. He was up and down in Pittsburgh enough that they were like, we're good. But if there was ever a guy who was primed to resurrect maybe and get back to something that he used to be, I feel like it's Russell Wilson. And what could it be with Kevin O'Connell? Kevin O'Connell, if he can, you should put this on his business card. If I can do it for Sam Darnold and Josh Dobbs, I can do it for you. What an awesome business card that would be for Kevin O'Connell. I actually think, and I don't know if it's going to happen, whether they decide to sign maybe a Russell Wilson, because I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe he's unsigned still. Is that right? He is.
I believe he is not signed anywhere yet, correct?
Not signed anywhere and will probably more than likely be available for a while. He'll get some sort of league minimum. Who knows what he's going to cost. It'll certainly be less than what they would have had to spend, I think, at this point on Sam Darnold. But I like it. I think if Russell Wilson is the kind – I certainly like it better than Aaron Rodgers. I think he's a better locker room guy than Aaron Rodgers would be. But Russell Wilson – undersized, small quarterback, right? It's kind of similar to J.J. McCarthy. Can be a guy who could mentor him along with Kevin O'Connell. I don't see a downside here. I don't see a downside if they go for it. And as you look on the list of available quarterbacks, not a lot else out there at this point. And there will be more free agents, and the draft is coming. You know, we talked to Alec Lewis and earlier in the, I believe it was the first hour, about the possibility that they either might draft a replacement, might draft a backup, or go for a free agent backup. And he said he felt like it was – and Alec's pretty plugged in. He said he felt pretty strongly that he thought they would go for a veteran quarterback, which makes sense. It makes sense to bring in a guy – that J.J. McCarthy can learn from in his first year. How bad is the injury going to be? Is he going to get past it? All of those things. Those are all question marks that are going to happen regardless of who you have here. But if you want a guy in the locker room who has been a winner at a time in his career, and he has, Russell Wilson's been a winner, and has something to teach and mentor a young quarterback with. I like the idea of Russell Wilson, Jonathan. What do you think?
Not sold.
I know everyone here is going to be like, but he was a Wisconsin quarterback.
I don't know if it's going to work.
Yeah.
Do you think he still believes
he has to be a starter?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
That could be an issue.
I
don't think he views himself as a backup at this point. I know he didn't have the receiver situation that he would have had this season in Pittsburgh, and I mean Pittsburgh could technically sign him back. I don't think he's going back to Pittsburgh. I don't think it would work out. I know that there was some rumors, some discussion about his time in Denver and how he was viewed in the locker room in Denver. So I don't know. I think there might be better options than Russell Wilson personally.
Who would you rather have than Russell Wilson? And please don't say Aaron Rodgers.
No. gosh.
There's not a lot to pick from though.
It's a very shallow pool.
But it's come back. So now you've got Winston signed, Flacco signed. So I think Carson Wentz is still available if you want Carson Wentz. Might not be the worst choice. He won't cost much. I don't know. I guess it all depends on what Russ sees his next job as. And you're right. If he sees it as being a starter at 36 years old, coming off a not-so-great year with the Pittsburgh Steelers, then it doesn't make sense here. But if someone's willing to convince him that, hey, man, this is probably going to be your last spot, you're 36 years old, you might get a chance to play, because we think JJ's the guy, but we don't know where his injury's at. So you might have to come in and play a little bit. And by the way, look at my resume. Look at what I've done with other quarterbacks. Maybe we can get it out of you. Maybe you come in here for a Sam Darnold special. You come in here for a one-year deal, see what you can do, see what you can turn it into. Now, Sam Darnold is markedly younger and had more failure to his career than successes, right? It's different. Is it better to be a has-been or a never-was? We've talked about that a lot. Sam Darnold was very much a never-was and then became something. And I think most people in the camp of Russell Wilson, I don't want to call him a has-been, but he's trending downward. So which would you rather have? So someone in his camp might at some point have to get through to him. He might just sit there and wait it out and maybe wait for an injury and see what happens. I think there's a lot of quarterbacks. I think that's what Aaron Rodgers might end up doing. I think that's what Russell Wilson does as well. We'll take a quick break. We'll get you around the NCAA tournament scoreboard coming up next. You're listening to Lake Show. Dave Schwartz in for Henry Lake this evening. Glad to have you with us. We have about 20 minutes left here up until 9 o'clock. Jonathan, looking at we got some score updates here for the NCAA tournament this evening.
Yes, we do. And you are not privy to my wants and my needs and my ego when I do a scoreboard. So I'm just giving you a quick second to just prepare yourself for what's coming, because what's coming is what we usually do when I'm here. A lot of times I like to do what we do on the weekends, and that is throw in a bunch of overly obnoxious music that you've heard in the past and bring you back to wonderful nostalgia of days gone by and bring it into the present and give you the scores for the night. So let's go ahead and do that with such a glorious day, continuing into the evening. That's right. It is the second day. It's day two of the NCAA tournament, day one of the women's NCAA tournament. Let's get you up to date with all of those and some other scores that are going on, including a big tournament that's going on across Minneapolis. Let's start on the men's side in the NCAA tournament, two games in the third session of the day going on. It is almost over in Cleveland. Marquette and New Mexico, the Lobos look to finish off the upset. They're up 75-66 with, again, 9 seconds left. So it looks like New Mexico will oust one of the Big East darling teams, one of the Big East powers. Mm-hmm. In Seattle.
10, 10-7 matchup always.
That's right. Another 10-7 that people love to pick. You are correct. That is one of the wonderful ones, along with the 5-12s and the 6-11s that people love to pick. Number 4 seed Arizona. They are in Seattle with about 5 minutes to play, taking on Akron. They are leading big time, 84-55, the score there. We will have some games coming up. The fourth session of the night is coming up soon, but not started just yet. Let's get to some finals from earlier today. Baylor, Mississippi State in starting off the day with the first game of the day. Baylor ends up winning, taking down Mississippi State 75-72. Alabama had a scare from Robert Morris, but the Tide pull away in the second half, late in the second half, to win 90-81. Iowa State has one of their key players down for the start of the tournament. Didn't care today. Didn't matter today. They take down Lipscomb hard after going down early. They run away in the first half and stay way ahead in the second half. 82-55, the final for the Cyclones. The upset so far today, Colorado State. Many people had this over 5-seed Memphis. And it's Seattle. The Rams come through 78-70. Colorado State comes back for the win there. Number 1 seed Duke had no trouble with Mount St. Mary's, 93-49. St. Mary's came back from being down double digits to Vanderbilt, and the Gales win 59-56. That's a 7 over a 10 for those of you paying attention. A lot of people thought that North Carolina should not have been in the tournament. A lot of people thought that the winner of North Carolina-San Diego State was going to beat Ole Miss. Well, none of those things really happened. Ole Miss wins today. They got up big. They got up 20 points and held on for a 71-64 win. The Tar Heels are now out of the tourney. Maryland comes through with a big 81-49 win over Grand Canyon. Top seed Florida out west, they win 95-69 over Norfolk State. Kentucky has just finished off a 76-57 win over Troy. Now we have one game that has just gotten underway. Two-time defending champion Connecticut against Oklahoma in Raleigh. That game is about 4 minutes in, 11-4. The Huskies leading in the pursuit of their third straight national championship. Xavier and Illinois will come up in just about 15 minutes. That is the last game of the night in Milwaukee. It will be Michigan State taking on Bryant. That came coming up in, from Cleveland in just about 18 minutes or so, and then about half an hour from now, it'll be the last game of the night, Oregon taking on Liberty. Let's head real quickly to the women's tournament, the first day of action in the women's draw. Let's head to the scores at the present time. 5-seed Tennessee leading South Florida at the beginning of the fourth quarter, 79-56. It is Duke all over Lehigh, 35-10 early in the third quarter. One other game coming up in just about 15 to 18 minutes. It'll be UCLA, the top overall seed, taking on Southern. Finals from earlier today. South Carolina destroys Tennessee Tech, 108-48. TCU defeats Fairleigh Dickinson, 73-51. Notre Dame just crushed Stephen F. Austin, 106-54. Watch out for that team. They did not get a 1 seed or a 2 seed. I think they are the most bleeped off team in America throughout this women's tournament. Number 4 Kentucky, what a game against Liberty in Kentucky, in Lexington, 79-78. The Wildcats avoid a scare. It was Baylor defeating Grand Canyon, 73-60. Ohio State wins 71-51 over Montana State. Kansas State gets a big win over Fairfield, 85-41. Ole Miss defeats Ball State, 83-65. Michigan takes down Iowa State, 80-74. Oregon, in overtime, stuns Vanderbilt, 77-73. Louisville takes down Nebraska, 63-58. It was Indiana defeating Utah, 76-68. And Richmond, the Spiders, get a big win over ACC's Georgia Tech, 74-49. Now let's head to semifinal Friday at the Boys State Basketball Tournament. Two sets of semifinals today. Class A, that got done early. It was top-seeded Cherry defeating Nevis, 79-70, and it was second-seeded Dawson Boyd over Red Lake County Rebels, 80-66. In Class 2A, you've got the semifinals going on right now. One still to go. The top seed in 2A, Albany, defeats Caledonia 59-54. It's second-seeded Waseca and third-seeded Breck taking place right now at the Barn. We'll get you a score on that tomorrow. Steve Thompson will have you covered all over that after the Twins game. So it's Championship Saturday is almost set. It will start tomorrow at the Barn, 11 a.m. Number 1, Cherry. Number 2, Dawson Boyd in Class A. tomorrow at 5 p.m. Class 2A, number one seed Albany against the winner of Waseca and Breck. Class 3A, that will be the second game up tomorrow at the barn. Top seeded Mankato East against third seeded Alexandria area. And then the game of the night, Class 4A. Number one, Creighton-Durham Hall. Number two, Wayzata. That game is set to tip around 8 p.m. from Williams Arena. Let's head to a couple of other scores across the area, across some pro sports. Timberwolves, they are making up for Wednesday in a big way. They are up over the Pelicans in the second of that back-to-back home two-game home series. They lose to the Pelicans on Wednesday. They are not making the same mistake tonight. 95-69 with a minute to go in the third quarter. The Wild are off tonight. There's only one NHL game across the entire league tonight. Tomorrow gets going. It's popping off. We got 14 games tomorrow in the NHL, including the Wild, which will be the second game up. It's a matinee tomorrow at the XL Energy Center. So if you're going, remember, it's going to be early. 1 o'clock face-off with Buffalo coming into town. And the PWHL, the Minnesota Frost, are off the entire weekend. They played last on Sunday. They are off all the way until Wednesday. So they got a long stretch of time where they are taking some time, taking some days to get rested up. And that's going to do it for the sports scoreboard. Again, Steve Thompson will have all of your scores tomorrow. I might even pop in for a little bit to talk some college hoop. You never know. But he'll be all over the college tournament. He'll be all over the championship Saturday for high school boys basketball. It's going to be a glorious day tomorrow on a Saturday in mid-March here in the Twin Cities.
That 4A championship game is going to be incredible. Creighton and Wayzata. Did you say is it Williams Arena? It is, right?
All of the games tomorrow are going to be at the barn.
Yeah, that's going to be a great game. Boy, that's going to be a great game. I love all the high school tournaments. Obviously, I'm a huge. I love the high school hockey tournament. I love the high school basketball tournament. It's so cool. There was a question here, and I want to hit the really quickly because we talked about this. I think it was last hour, Jonathan, where we asked if coaches and players related, dads and sons coaching and playing together. Someone says Rick Pitino Jr., which we all know Richard Pitino. He's doing fine now. Now, he did not actually play for his father. I don't think he actually played college basketball. I don't think he did.
I'm trying to remember if he did. I thought he played. I thought he played, but I thought he played at a lower level. Let me see.
He was at Providence College, and he was the manager. But I don't think he ever played. I'm sure he – listen, it's got to be hard being Rick Pitino's kid and trying to play basketball, right? That's probably pretty difficult. So, and we talked about Cal Ripken Sr. Doc Rivers said he coached the Clippers and he coached his son.
He did coach his son, yes. He did coach Austin Rivers, yes.
Yeah. So it's happened. It's happened before. Not a ton. But it has happened just a few times. So exciting day around sports. Glad to see the Timberwolves finally decided to wake up and take care of business. That was a bad loss the other night. Against the Pelicans.
The Indiana loss, I said this Tuesday, I think it's an acceptable loss. You don't want to lose that way with so many starters out for the Pacers, but it was an acceptable loss. The loss to the Pelicans on Wednesday was not an acceptable loss.
No,
if we were in the NCAA, that would be a quad four loss.
Well, it's the kind of losses that cause that lose jobs, man. I mean, not in the pros, not at this point, but yeah, those you don't want those quad four losses. Interesting question I want to dabble into in our final time together here, Jonathan, and love to hear what people think on the talk and text line as well. Who is going to make the NCAA tournament first? And I'm stealing this because this was something that Dan Cook and Chris Tubbs, I believe, were talking about at the end of their show today. Who makes the NCAA tournament first? University of St. Thomas? Or the University of Minnesota? We'll talk about it come up next. Who makes the NCAA tournament first? Is it St. Thomas or is it the University of Minnesota? And we're going to dive into this quick because we don't have a ton of time, but I want to talk about it. What you're basically asking is, can the Tommies win the Summit League before the University of Minnesota basically finishes in the top seven or eight? Because I believe eight teams were in the Big Ten. I don't know, Jonathan. I mean, St. Thomas was 12-4 in conference this year. They won 24 games this year, and their competition in the Summit League is Omaha, South Dakota, North Dakota, South Dakota State, North Dakota State, Denver, Kansas City, and Oral Roberts. As much as I'd love to say that this is a slam dunk for the Gophers because they're going to find, I'm sure, I do believe, a coach that will take this program to the next level, St. Thomas doesn't have far to go. They just got to win the Summit League against a bunch of teams that really aren't basketball schools.
Well, here's the thing. So you've got the thing that you wondered about with the jump to Division I was how fast the Tommy teams would get acclimated. Football was one story, but the rest of them, the basketball team, the hockey teams, all of those teams, you wondered how fast it would get acclimated. The men's basketball team has become acclimated very quickly to the Summit League level. So now the question is eligibility, because they are on a 5-year track. Because they came from Division 3, they had to wait out their eligibility. So you technically right now they're not eligible until 2027. They're trying to get that fast track to possibly be eligible next season. If they're eligible
next season, that's such a stupid rule.
Yeah, well, they're right there. So we may, if things turn out their way, we may see it really quickly.
Changes it up a little bit. Hey, man, thanks. This was fun. Appreciate you letting me fill in. It was a good time, and I hope we can do it again soon. Everybody, enjoy the weekend.